off talking about GNO just a little bit. And you know what? I was here also helping with the guys, helping make it a wonderful event for the ladies. And so I didn't get a chance to get into the service and experience. Every once in a while, we'll have a daughters not daughters, but Women Rock Conference where the women get together. And I'll have a break and I'll get to sneak in and hear some of the praise and worship or preaching or whatnot. But I didn't get to actually this time at all. So anyways, but if you're here on the weekend services on both Saturday morning and Sunday morning service, they did the same praise and worship that they did for GNO, the same intro. And so I got to experience that. And I'm here to tell you today, man, I was touched. I was blessed. It was awesome. If you were there, they were singing the song, you know, Hark How the Bells, Sweet Silver Bells, all, and they, you know, they're singing so fast, you're like, you know, and they're singing, oh, tidings of, and I'm sitting there crying, tidings of. I was just so touched. I was touched by the Christmas story. I was touched once again. I was reminded once again of the Christmas story and how God loved us so much. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And so I was just so touched, you know, good news, tidings of comfort, tidings of joy to the weary soul, strength and life. And so I was just touched. And so today I've got a Christmas message for you tonight. I know we're still a few weeks away from Christmas, but I believe God put a Christmas message on my heart tonight. And I believe that just as the Christmas message last Sunday really inspired me and brought a time of refreshing and restoration. Aren't you glad the Bible says that he restores the soul? You know, just when you think you can't handle anymore, and just when you think life has gone too far and it's just too tough and there's nothing I can do to bring some life, there's nothing I could do to bring some joy, I've had it! God, I've had it! I quit! God comes along and he restores the soul. That's Psalms 23. And so tonight, if you're taking notes, the title of the message is The Greatest Story Ever Told. The greatest story ever told. If you're taking notes, you can jot that down. And if you brought your Bibles tonight, we're going to begin reading in John, the first chapter, John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. And then so that you can best follow along and keep up and not lose step here tonight, we're going to go verses 1 through 5, and then we're going to skip to verse number 14. All right, so tonight, the greatest story ever told. And let me say this while you're turning there. You know, what a truly amazing feat. How awesome and how marvelous and absolutely indescribable, incredible the accomplishment that God accomplished in sending his son, Jesus Christ. How personal Jesus' actions that he would leave heaven behind and come and be born as a man, as a man for you and I. And let me say this to you today, there is no other story so relevant for humanity today. There is no other story today than the Christmas story that is so relevant and needful for mankind today, for the earth today. And you know what, as much as I like being proud to be American, you know what, our country sadly is turning away from the Christmas story. Every time you turn around, they've taken yet another, it's no longer Christmas, it's Xmas, and it's no longer Merry Christmas, it's Happy Holidays. And you go to public school and our kids can't even sing half the hymns, and when they do, they Jesus and they Christ, or they change the words. But today I'm here to tell you, young people, regardless if the world wants to go crazy, regardless if the world wants to go sideways, they want to fall off the deep end, go to left field, I'm here to tell you today that the Christmas story is the story that's relevant for you and I, for our lives today. And so today we pick up at the beginning, John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And he was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Verse number 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And so these verses here, verses 1 through 5 and then verse number 14, basically bring us the Christmas story. In just 6 short verses, we have the Christmas story. And so today, we're talking about, again, the greatest story ever told. If you're taking notes today, point number 1, we're going to do this. The greatest story ever told contains, number 1, the greatest separation. The greatest separation. Now, everybody here knows, and we saw it in these verses, everybody here knows the story of Adam and Eve. We know Genesis' account of creation. We know how God came along and he created the heavens and the earth. He did it in 6 days. He rested on the 7th. Isn't that right? And so God comes along and he says, let there be light. And there's light. He comes along and he makes, the Bible says, the birds of the air and the beasts of the field and the fish of the sea. And then he comes along and he makes Adam and Eve. Now, the Bible says that he makes Adam and Eve. And what's so cool about this is the Bible says that Adam and Eve got to walk with God in the cool of the garden. It's just one little quick little verse that says they walked with God in the cool of the garden. I believe that many Christians today, we kind of read that and we just kind of just look over it and we don't really realize what's going on here. But Adam and Eve got to walk with God. Adam and Eve got to talk with God and look him face to face, look him right in his eyes. In fact, they got to do it in all of his glory. Now, you got to understand tonight, we've not been able to do that yet, but one day we will get to see him face to face. And one day it's going to be in all of his glory. And what a hope that is for us. And so here Adam and Eve are, and they're getting to walk with God and talk with God face to face in all of his glory. Now, I personally believe that even though it's a small verse and it's just like a little snippet right in there, I really believe that they had absolutely amazing and wonderful times in the presence of God. In fact, I believe that from time to time, God would sit them down and say to them, listen, I just want to tell you how gravity works. I want to show you how I created this. They didn't have need of a teacher. They didn't have need of a scientist. They didn't have need of a philosopher or some theory, some kind of equation. They had the maker himself right there. Let me show you how gravity works. In fact, I believe, and this is not to be sacrilegious in any way, so please don't be religious in the house of God tonight, but I believe God was a little bit like the genie in Aladdin. I believe he could just kind of pop down, just kind of went like this with his hands and created this screen. And all of a sudden he began to show Adam and Eve video clips of him placing the stars in the heavens with his fingers. I believe that. And you know, God goes so far beyond our imagination, our thing. I believe that if he didn't do it with Adam and Eve, he's going to do it with us one day. He's going to take us from one side of the universe all the way to the other side. He's going to show us just how big it is. He's going to actually tell us the measurement. If you want to know how big it is in inches, he's going to tell you. If you want to know how big it is in centimeters or millimeters, he's going to tell you. God is that great. And so you begin to see the greatness of the kind of relationship God intended for mankind to have from the very beginning. But remember now, this is the greatest story ever told, and our point is the greatest story ever told contains the greatest separation. And so we know what happens with Adam and Eve. All of a sudden, God says, you know what, of all these trees, you can eat of any one you want except for that one, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You can't eat from that one. In the day that you eat of it, you will surely die. And so the serpent comes along, and we know he deceives Eve. And she goes ahead and she partakes, and then she gives to her husband, which, by the way, the Bible says he wasn't deceived. He was just stupid. And he goes ahead and he partakes as well. And so what happens is sin enters into the world. And because of sin, all of a sudden now, this great separation, this great divide, all of a sudden now mankind is completely cut off from God. No walking with him, no talking with him, no seeing him face to face, kicked out of the garden. They are now separated from God. They have now been divided. They've now been completely cut off. Today, young people, this is the greatest separation that has ever hit, that has ever happened here on the face of the earth, that has never been written down in history. This separation, it's the separation between God and man, the most heartbreaking, the most heart-wrenching separation, the worst separation of all separations is right here where mankind is cut off from God. Listen to young people, the most heartbreaking separation is not the story of Romeo and Juliet. It's not when you broke up with your girlfriend, when your girlfriend broke up with you, or vice versa. It's not when Noah and Allie got separated in The Notebook. The most heart-wrenching, heartbreaking separation that ever took place upon the face of this earth was the separation between God and man. It's because of that separation and that, excuse me, let me say it like this. The evils that you and I face today took their opportunity through that separation. The same evils that we have witnessed and we read about down through history, the same evils that you see every day you turn on the news, nation going to war against nation, sickness and disease, economic failure, economic collapse, economic meltdown, poverty, people going to jail, people shooting, people killing. It's amazing to me how crazy the world has gotten. Just this past month, we've come to find out how our college coaches are really acting behind the scenes, behind the doors. How did this come about? It's because the evils that we face today took their opportunity through this fall. They took their opportunity through that sin, through the separation between God and man. Could this breach ever be bridged? Could the wrong ever be righted? Was there any way for mankind now to get back to where they were? Was there any way for mankind to have a second chance to once again take their place in their God-given position? Take his place, take their place in their God-given destiny, in their God-given design. Operate and walk and be the way that God created them to be. Was there any way? Only God knew at the time. Only God knew at the time. It's for this reason that we read this verse here in verse number 14, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. God knew if it could be mended. God knew if it could be fixed. God knew if the wrong could be righted. And you and I know today that it could. And the reason why it could is because God so loved the world that he sent Jesus, that Jesus came and he was born of a virgin by the name of Mary, wrapped in swaddling clothes and placed in a manger. It could be righted. And it's for this reason that we read verse number 14. Listen, from that day until this day, mankind has sought for rightness. From that day until this day, mankind has sought for truth, for right standing with God. Some through false religions, others through self-imposed deeds. You know, if I do this, that means I'm good. If I don't do this, that means I'm good. If you're like this, that you're a bad person. If there is a God out here, if I operate this way, surely I'll be accepted. Some people have through reasoning and science and so on and so forth, have bypassed their conscience and come to the conclusion that there is no God. But it's amazing to me that no matter where you go, mankind has to answer the question, what are you going to do with God? Whether you've decided not to believe, whether you decided to be one religion or another, God has placed eternity within man's heart. God has placed eternity. And so every man, regardless of what they believe, has to do something with this idea called God. And the reason being is because, again, God placed eternity in man's heart, and now being separated, we've come to this place. But again, and I'll say this one more time, that's why we have verse number 14. God knew if it could be mended. God knew if it could be fixed, and it could. It would cost him the most high. It would cost him the highest of prices, the most costly price that he could give, the shed blood and the broken body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And yet he gave. And so verse number 14 says, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And so today, this is the greatest story ever told. The greatest story ever told contains the greatest separation. It was the separation between God and man. Today, point number two, the greatest story ever told contains the greatest love. The greatest love. Listen, today you and I need to make sure that we understand this point tonight, that the greatest story, the Christmas story contains the greatest love. Listen, tonight you've got to know that God's, the thing that motivated God to give, the thing that was in his heart, the thing that was in his mind, the thing that inspired him, the thing that, if you will, influenced God, the thing that moved God to give his only son was his love for you. This is how much he loves you, that he would sacrifice the most precious gift of all, his son. Not streets of gold, not money, not pearls, not angels. No, your redemption and mine required Jesus, the life of Jesus, and yet he loves us so much that he gave. Now let's talk about this for a moment, because God being God and God being all powerful, he could have wiped everybody out. He could have wiped the world out and started all over. Isn't that right? Could have started all over. You know, these guys messed up. In fact, if he started all over, I'm sure he'd make the next man, the next woman, and he'd pop out a video clip of how we messed it up so that they won't mess it up. But he didn't. Why? It was because of love. It was because of his love for you, his great love for you. Now, how about this? If we're not going to do this, but if we had a showing of hands in the house tonight, everybody in here could raise their hand and say, you know what, Pastor Joe, there's been times in my life where, you know, I was really cool with somebody, and you know what, it probably better said they were really cool with me. I thought we were best friends. I thought we had it going on, man. And then all of a sudden, once they got from you what they wanted to get from you, they left you high and dry. Well, once they got from you what they wanted to get from you, they were nowhere to be found. Once they got from you what they wanted to get from you, man, they didn't know you no more. And so all of a sudden now, the person's heart intention, the motive, the hidden agenda, the thing that moved them, the thing that drew them to you is revealed. They just wanted, or they just wanted, And let me see if I can give you an example. I was talking to the youth recently along the lines of this subject, and we were talking about, you know, has there ever been a time where somebody was really buddy-buddy with you, and then you found out, man, all they wanted was your lunch money? They didn't have lunch that day, and they knew that you could pay for their, I was talking to youth, all right? So you're at school, and somebody was like acting all cool with you. What's up, homie? And they're giving you the knuckles, and they're putting their arm around you. I've had people do this to me. And I thought, oh man, this is like the coolest person ever. I'm gonna be popping out. And so all of a sudden, you know, also you buy them. I was telling you, you go ahead and buy them lunch, and then after you bought them lunch, man, they don't want nothing to do with you. Or have you ever, you know, maybe some of you guys, you bought the latest video game, and somebody else don't got it, and so they're all cool with you because they want to go over to your house and play it. And then once they got done playing with it, you go to school the next day, and they want nothing to do with you. All right, so I'm asking for their input. Like, hey, what are some of your stories? And this little guy, I mean, you think I'm skinny? This kid, he's like this tall and like super skinny. All right, so anyway, so he's in the back. He raises his hand. He says, Pastor Joe, this one time I had some candy. I had some candy, and you know what? That day I was at my family's house, and my cousin came along, and he was acting all cool with me. He was like, man, we were like best friends that day. And so I gave him some of my candy. He wanted to, so I gave him some. And then Pastor Joe, you know what happened? I went to my family's house the next day, and I walked up to my cousin. And I said, what's up, man? He's like, I don't know you. And he was all, Pastor Joe, I told him, how do you not know me? I'm your cousin. I'm your cousin, man. What do you mean you don't know me? I don't know you. Get away from me. And so we went on to explain. All of a sudden now, the cousin's heart motive, what was in his heart and mind, the thing that drew him to the little guy was his desire for the candy. And then once he got what he got, he left him high and dry. Question, what did God have to gain in drawing near to you? What benefit did he have coming to get you other than to get you? Today, it was love. It was love that moved him. It was love that drew him. It was love that caused Jesus to stoop as low as Jesus stooped. To come to if you will, woo and to save your soul. It was love. Today, just in case you, let me say this to you. Today, young people, if you're in the house today and you think that somebody loves you tonight, I'm here to tell you today, God loves you. And today, if you're in the house tonight and you think nobody loves you, I'm here to tell you today, God loves you. And in fact, God loves you so much, he loves you better than you could love yourself. He loves you better than a mom or a dad could ever love their child, than a grandparent could ever love their grandchild, than a husband or a wife could ever love one another, than any boy, any girl, any man, any woman could ever love you. God loves you that much. And just so we can kind of paint yet another picture, because we're talking about this is the greatest love. The greatest story ever told contains the greatest love. Let's see if we can paint this picture a little bit better, because we've already talked about it. Here Adam and Eve are, and they're walking with God in the cool of the day, and they separate themselves through sin and therefore separate all of mankind from sin. And the Bible goes on to describe how great this divide was, how big the chasm was now between God and man, so big that you and I actually became enemies of God. You and I operated and we lived, we thought, we spoke, everything we did was contrary to the ways of God. We actually became his enemies, fought against his cause, pushed away his kingdom, pushed away the godliness, pushed away everything that makes life worth living. You and I were enemies of God, and yet the Bible comes along and says, but God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died. This is how much God loves you, that he would send Jesus even while you are still an enemy of his. I should have got somebody to say amen in the house tonight. And what's so great about this tonight, you guys, is that, okay, we're talking about the cross a little bit, but the whole reason why we have that verse is because God first sent Jesus. Jesus first decided to leave heaven behind and come and be born to a virgin named Mary, wrapped in swaddling clothes and placed in a manger. This is how much God loves you. This brings to mind my favorite Christmas song. It is the song, O Holy Night. I'm just going to read you just a few of the lyrics for you, and I've added a few words because that's just what I do, all right? It's got to come from my heart. This is what it means to me. But O Holy Night, the words say this. It says, O Holy Night, and I wrote, oh, what a holy and wonderful night. The stars were brightly shining. It was the night of our dear Savior's birth. The line says, long lay the world in sin and error pining. Now, I'm just going to be brutally honest with you today. I'm 28 years old, and I've sang that song every single year, and I had no idea what the word pining meant until today. But I got it now. Amen. The word pining here means infatuated, obsessed, yearning, longing. And let me read this verse to you. Long lay the world in sin and error, infatuated, obsessed, yearning for, longing for. In other words, long lay the world here obsessed with, yearning for, longing for, infatuated with sin and error. This is the condition of mankind. This is the great divide that has taken place. Long lay the world in sin and error, obsessed with it, infatuated with it, longing for it, yearning for it. And then I love the next line. It says, until he appeared and the soul felt its worth. Until Jesus Christ came and all of a sudden it was revealed to mankind, hey, this is how much you're worth. This is what life really is. We read it here in John chapter 1. He says, and the light shines in the darkness. Until he came and the soul felt its worth. In other words, here you are, here a person is, and they're yearning for, and they're longing for, and they're obsessed with, and they're infatuated with sin. They can't help themselves but go to the club. They can't help themselves but go to the bar and get drunk. They can't help themselves but sleep around. Until Jesus Christ comes and he reveals himself to you, and all of a sudden you realize, hey, this is way below what I'm supposed to be living. There's something higher to live for. Hey, I've been selling myself short here. Every time I go and do this, every time I take part in this, hey, I've been selling myself short, longing and yearning and infatuated and obsessed with sin and error until he appeared. And all of a sudden now the soul felt its worth. How is that possible except that God so loved the world that Jesus came and brought us this Christmas story? Until he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope, a thrill of hope. A weary world now rejoices. For yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. A new and glorious morn. Brand new. He makes all things new. How amazing an accomplishment. How remarkable and how personal his Jesus' actions. How great his love. How relevant for the world today is this Christmas story. I think the verse that sums all of this up so perfectly is it's found in Ephesians chapter 2. If you brought your Bibles, you can turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Verses 1 through 5, and you know what, maybe I did the wrong thing, having you turn there. I'm going to read this out of the Amplified. So if you don't have the Amplified, I would encourage you to probably just write down the verse. We have it up here on the overhead, but I'm going to read this to you from the Amplified. The Bible says, and you he made alive when you were dead, slain by your trespasses and sins, in which at one time you walked habitually. You had a habit of being obsessed. You were following the course and fashion of this world, were under the sway of the tendency of this present age. Following the prince of the power of the air, you were obedient to and under the control of the demon spirit that still constantly works in the sons of disobedience, the careless, the rebellious, and the unbelieving, who go against the purposes of God. Among these, we as well as you once lived and conducted ourselves in the passions of our flesh, our behavior governed by our corrupt and sensual nature, obeying the impulses of the flesh and the thoughts of the mind, our cravings dictated by our senses and our dark imaginings. We were then by nature children of God's wrath and heirs of his indignation like the rest of mankind. And here's the great part. But God, so rich is he in his mercy, because of and in order to satisfy the great and wonderful and intense love with which he loved us. Let me read that again. Because of and in order to satisfy the great and wonderful and intense love. Look at your neighbor and say, great and wonderful and intense love. Look at your other neighbor and say, it was intense, man. I didn't mean to squeak. Need some water. Because of and in order to satisfy the great and wonderful and intense love with which he loved us. Can you imagine? I've got to satisfy my love for this, for this person, for you and for me. Even when we were dead, slain by our own shortcomings and trespasses, he made us alive together in fellowship and in union with Christ. We're talking about the greatest story ever told contains the greatest love. Love that mended and bridged the breach between mankind and God. Right, so the greatest story ever told contains, number one, the greatest separation. It contains, number two, the greatest love. And today, the greatest story ever told contains, number three, the greatest humility. The greatest humility. Do we realize today that Jesus left heaven behind? Jesus left. Now, let's talk about heaven for a moment, because heaven's got streets of gold. The Bible says that there's not a tear being shed in heaven. There's no pain. There's no suffering. There's no sickness and disease. There's no wars. There's no news talking about economic collapse. Everybody loves everybody perfectly. There ain't no drama. There ain't no rumors. You know, I just caught somebody today actually talking about me behind my back. I was tempted to be like, never mind. I won't tell you what I was tempted to do. No, I'm just kidding. Here Jesus is, and he leaves perfection behind to be planted right smack dab in the middle of our mess, of our slime, of our muck, and of our mire for you and I. He left heaven behind. Listen, today, I don't know if you realize how humble this is for a person to, for God to leave heaven behind. Listen, you ain't getting the president of the United States, whether he's Democrat or Republican or independent, to come to your house for nothing. And yet the maker of heaven and earth leaves heaven behind. Matthew chapter 1, verse number 23. Matthew chapter 1, verse number 23. This is what the Bible records of Jesus. Matthew chapter 1, verse number 23. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. You know, here Jesus comes and he's born on the earth, and he walked the streets of Judea. And in the book of John, at the end of the book of John, John says this. He says, you know what, all of these miracles, all of these healings, all of these stories about Jesus, they've all been written for the purpose of you believing. And that in you believing, you might have life eternal through Jesus Christ our Lord. And then he goes ahead and he adds this other verse, which I like so much. He says, I just want you to know that even though we've chosen these particular stories and these healings and these miracles to be written in here so that you would believe, I want you to know that Jesus did so many good and great things that I'm not even sure that all the books in all of the earth can contain the things that he did, while he was here on the earth. And so, you know, I can just imagine Jesus walking the streets of Judea and walking the streets of Galilee, preaching the kingdom of God, preaching good tidings of great joy, of comfort and peace. I could see him going throughout the towns and healing the sick and casting out demons and bringing life and bringing hope once again. In fact, it's recorded of Jesus. Everybody here knows the story of the woman with the issue of blood. If I could just touch his garment, I'll be made whole. But the Bible actually records that that's not the only time that happened. In fact, often while Jesus walked and he traveled, multitudes followed him and thronged him, often trying to touch him, because if I could just touch him, I'm going to be made whole. And the Bible says that power went out from him as he's walking through the streets, healing people and casting out demons, just walking through. I believe that as he walked through, men would say, Emmanuel, God is with us. Hey. Emmanuel, God ain't up there and we're down here. That's God. That's God walking the streets. Now you may say, well, Pastor Joe, I wasn't there, but he walked the streets for you too. He walked the streets for you too. And the stories and the message written is for you too. How great a humility that Jesus left heaven behind. And the Bible records that his name is Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. He really came and he really walked the earth. He was really with mankind. Not only did Jesus leave heaven behind, but Jesus left behind all of his attributes. He left behind all of his godly, everything that makes God God, he had it and he left it all behind. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 5 through 7. I'm going to read this again in the Amplified. It says, we're going to put up on the overhead. It says, let this same attitude and purpose and humble mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus, Let him be your example in humility. Now watch what it says. Who, although being essentially one with God and in the form of God, in other words, he possessed the fullness of the attributes which make God, God, did not think this equality with God was a thing to be eagerly grasped or retained, but stripped himself of all privileges and rightful dignity so as to assume the guise of a servant, a slave, in that he became like men and was born a human being. So not only did Jesus leave heaven behind, but Jesus left behind his attributes. He left behind everything that makes God, God. Okay, all right, Pastor Joe, I'm not sure if I understand. All right, let's talk about what makes God, God. I'll give you the first one. God is all-knowing, right? What are some other ones? God is all-powerful. What are some other ones? God is omnipresent. He's everywhere all the same. God is immortal. He'll never die. Jesus, not only did he leave heaven, but he stripped himself of these attributes, of these privileges. He laid aside. Well, Pastor Joe, why did he lay them aside? He laid them aside because sin demanded righteously and justly. Sin demanded the life of a man. It was because of man that sin came in. And in order to wipe sin out, it demanded the life of a man. Now, if you and I tried to pay that price, we'd get our rightful place. And we'd be on a cross and find ourselves in hell one day. And so in paying for it, that's what we get. It is going to take a perfect man. Jesus, being all God, had to not only be all God, but he also had to become all man, which would require him to strip himself of all his godly attributes, of all of his privilege, to then one day take our place on that cross. We're talking about the greatest story ever told contains the greatest humility. How humble of him that not only would he leave heaven, but he would have to strip himself of everything that makes him him to become a man, to take our place today. To take our place so that today we could have eternal life. Luke chapter 2, verse number 52 shows this. We read in John, Luke chapter 2, 52, but we read in John how in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh. All right, so here Jesus is, and he is God. And just in case you have a problem with that, I'm here to tell you today, I have studied it out. When the Bible says the Word was God, that's exactly what it means. That's the correct translation. That is, it is meaning for you to come to the conclusion that not only is God God, but Jesus is God as well, all by himself. Okay, so Luke chapter 2, verse number 52. Here Jesus comes, and he has to strip himself in order to become a man. Luke 2, 52 says, and Jesus, talking about when he was a child, and Jesus increased in wisdom. Question, if you are all-knowing, why do you have to increase in wisdom? No, he stripped himself of these things. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. Jesus stripped himself in order to take our place. Listen, we're talking about the greatest humility. Not only did he leave heaven behind, not only did he leave his attributes behind, but you would have thought, you know what, Jesus, if you're going to leave heaven behind, you're going to strip yourself of your attributes, and you're going to go to the cross for me one day, at least do yourself a favor, make yourself born to some wealthy people, make yourself born to some popular people, and enjoy yourself a little while you are here on earth until you go to that cross. But how great a humility that not only would he leave heaven behind, not only would he strip himself of his attributes, but he would come and he would be born in a manger. It's where people kept their farm animals. There's no place in the inn. There's no house, no condo, no apartment, no hotel, no motel. All they had for him at the time was a manger. Here Jesus is, and he's wrapped in swaddling clothes and placed in a manger. Pastor Joe, why? Jesus did it just so he could make sure that you understood that he knows exactly where you're coming from today. Hey, listen, he was born and he was placed in the lowliest of places. In the lowest of lows, Jesus came and experienced life. So that you and I would understand today that it don't matter how ugly, how nasty, how horrible, how miserable, how tough life can sometimes be. Hey, he knows exactly where you are. And the good news about it today is that, you know what, if Jesus, born in the lowest places, overcame, if you've got Jesus today, you're going to overcome too. you're going to overcome too. He was born in the low. In fact, if this doesn't drive home the point, this is what the Bible says about Jesus, that he was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Have you ever faced some sorrow in your life today? Have you ever faced grief in your life today? He was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. He knows what it is to grieve. He knows what it is to face disappointment. He knows exactly where you're coming from today. Because he took the lowest of the lowly places. He was born in the lowest of places. It's for this reason that the Bible says in Hebrews 4:15, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin." We don't have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points. He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Jesus knows exactly where you're coming from. And no, I didn't add the last verse there, but the last verse says, "Therefore, come boldly before the throne of grace, that you may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." How great a humility. The greatest story ever told contains the greatest humility, that Jesus would leave heaven behind, he'd strip himself of his attributes, and he'd be born in the lowliest of places. Anyways, last point tonight. The greatest story ever told contains, number one, and this is real quick, we're done here. It contains, number one, the greatest separation. It contains, number two, the greatest love. Number three, the greatest humility. And finally today, the greatest verse. And we've already said it today, but it's John 3:16. Probably everybody here can quote it, but I've put it up. If you guys could put it up the way I wrote it for everybody to see. Do you have that? Oh, just say it. Oh, they're all separated. All right, so, "For God so loved the world," which equals, oh, hold on. "For God so loved the world," which equals, okay, I'm just going to, "For God so loved the world," which equals the greatest love, "that he gave his only begotten son," which equals the greatest gift, "that whoever believes in him," which is the greatest opportunity. Listen, everybody on the face of the earth has the ability to believe. "That whoever believes in him," the greatest opportunity, "should not perish," which is the greatest escape. You and I deserve to be in a devil's hell, but should not perish, which is the greatest escape. And finally today, "but have everlasting life," which is the greatest reward. Today, if you got something good from the greatest story ever told, you can give God a great big praise.